A locally produced festival honoring prominent playwright Tennessee Williams returns to St. Louis for a second year, starting this Wednesday and running through May 21st. You may know Williams' famous work, The Glass Menagerie and A Streetcar Named Desire. Many of his other works and contributions are featured in this year's festival. For more, here is contributor Jerry Mitchell.
Good afternoon. I'm joined in the studio today by two extraordinary artistic talents, Carrie Houck, Executive Artistic Director of the festival, who has spent her professional life in front of and behind the camera, producing and teaching the arts, and Richard Corley, a Chicago-based director who has worked extensively across the United States as well as internationally. And he is the director of Small Craft Warnings, one of the plays that we will see during the festival. And I read where you're also known as an actor's director, and we'll get into that just a little bit later. But first, I'd like to welcome you both to St. Louis on the Air.
Thank you for having us, Jerry.
Thank you.
Carrie, first of all, thank you for bringing the festival back to St. Louis one more year. And I'll say this much. Most people know Tennessee Williams as a playwright. Who was he as a man?
Oh, well, I would say he was a sensitive soul. I believe he liked to consider himself a poet every bit as much as a playwright. He was also a painter. I think I connected with him early on. In my life, because I started reading plays when I was in elementary school, and luckily I found him. I don't even know how, maybe hearing that he was from here, lived here for 19 years. But I felt that he had a disconnect sometimes in walking around in his skin, and I did too as a kid. And I related to that, and I realized that, you know, at the time when you think you're the only oddball, you know, because when you're an oddball, you think you're the only one. It feels good to know that somebody else gets that. And I think that he never, you know, the theme this year is the magic of the other. And I think he did always feel like an other. And especially during his years here, I think when he moved to New Orleans, he started coming into his own and finding his legs as an artist and human walking the earth.
How did he get to St. Louis? What brought him here? I mean, because we know the big cities as the places where arts happen. How did he happen to make it to St. Louis?
Well, his father, he moved here as a child. I believe he was 8, and his father got a job with the shoe company and was transferred here from the South. So for a young kid with a sensitive soul, a thick Southern accent, you know, automatically he didn't fit in, and he came from a bucolic atmosphere with lovely grandparents, and I think just moving into this very polluted, and it was at that time, industrial city was jarring, to say the least. They lived in flats all over the West End and New City, and, you know, graduated into houses eventually in my neighborhood in Clayton, which is really nice, in the Des Moines, High Point, Wydown area. His mother liked to move. They moved a lot.
And I noticed that he had ties to Soldan High School.
He went to Soldan.
University City?
Yes, he did. He went to Soldan. He went to Washington University.
Washington University.
He went to the University of Missouri.
So lots of ties to St. Louis.
Lots of ties. Many, many, many. I mean, it's just the more you read and the more you research, there's something on almost every corner here that ties Williams to St. Louis.
And how did you become inspired to bring Williams' work to St. Louis?
Well, as you mentioned, I've been involved in show business my whole life, starting as an actor. But then I've been a casting director for over 30 years. And things changed here professionally for me in that a lot of the film work I was doing went away. So I thought, I had been working with Upstream Theater. I really wanted to produce a play on my own. And I wanted to do a Williams play, and I had a little gem that a student had brought me. I'm also an acting coach. And it was called Stairs to the Roof, and it took place here. And I fell in love with it. It was, to me, a little Valentine to our city. And I produced it 2.5 years ago from the ground up, and I had never done it before. And I realized what a strong thirst there was for Williams in St. Louis after doing that play. We sold out 3 weeks. And I've met people through at the Provincetown Williams Festival, and we batted ideas around, and I formed a board, and here we are. We're 2 years in. Well, it's our year 2. last year was looked like a year five instead of a year one. It was very ambitious. This year is much more ambitious in that we have produced almost every element of the festival. Last year, I presented other companies with one production of my own. This year, we've produced almost all of it.
Awesome. Yeah. Now, Richard, I want to get you in on this conversation. You're directing Small Craft Warnings. Give us an overview of this play, because I don't believe that the title gives it away.
It's a play he wrote in the early 1970s. Originally, it was a one-act play called Confessional, which kind of gives you a hint as to the tone and nature of the play. It's a play set in a bar on the California coast between San Diego and Los Angeles, one of those kind of, seaside bars that people hang out in and a lot of times hang out in for years and years. And so the people there know each other really, really well. They're very close. And the play takes place in one night as they kind of come together and break apart. And it's a play where they, in the middle of the play, each character in the play has a moment where they stop and turn to the audience and tell their confession, in a sense, about who they are. So they open up. And it's a play about yearning and a desire for connection. Williams is always about how we are all in our own little boats, out on the sea, but we're all trying to connect to each other. We're all trying to, sort of reach across the distance to make a human relationship, whether it's love or friendship or connection to another human being, to overcome our loneliness and find another human being who gets us.
And though they are a interesting bunch, they mm-hmm. somehow have like the same aspiration, like you said, to be accepted.
Yeah, they're all lonely souls. It's a play. I think that people will recognize aspects of themselves in the characters, and also aspects of people they know. These are just ordinary people. They're not rich titans. They're no kings and queens. It's just some ordinary people in a bar who are trying to get to know each other and trying to be a little less lonely. And over the course of the night, we really, really get to know them in depth.
And how did you go about selecting this piece of work for the festival, or was that something that was presented to you?
Well, I directed this play almost 20 years ago in Russia, in Russian. It was the Russian premiere of this play. Russia, a lot of people don't know this, but Russia loves Tennessee Williams, and he's one of the most produced playwrights in Russia. I got invited to go over there and do the play there. I did the play there at a wonderful theater in Moscow. And I met Carrie a little over a year ago, and we started to talk about this play and that I had done this play before and I really loved it. She loved the play, and we began to discuss doing the play here. I will say that it's a very rarely produced play of Tennessee Williams. It's a late play, and his late plays were not as well received. People kept wanting him to write Streetcar Named Desire and Cat on a Hot Tin Roof again and again and again.
Yeah.
He wanted to do other things. He wanted to explore other ideas and write new work. He was a great artist in that way. And his later work has been rediscovered and celebrated in the last few years. A lot of unknown work has come to the fore. But this play, I think, is one of his great plays. But it may be a very rare chance for people in St. Louis to see this play. It just doesn't get produced that often.
And since you mentioned Cat on a Hot Tin Roof and Streetcar Named Desire and The Glass Menagerie, how did his family inspire him to write those?
Oh,
his mother. And
that's a whole nother few hours if you really want to know. I mean, I think all of his plays were inspired by his family on some level or another.
Some of the background.
And, there's so many plays that people aren't aware of that are recently published. Some aren't published yet. And you see the influence of his family in almost everything he wrote. Wouldn't you agree, Richard?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. They're sort of prototypes for his sister. Mm-hmm. His mother and father, Carrie knows. I recently, last week, went out to visit him He's buried here in St. Louis.
And at Calvary.
At Calvary, and I went out to visit him, and he's buried next to his sister. And his mother is right beside. His mother, of course, has the much larger monument. And so, yes, his mother loomed very large in his work, and so did his sister and his father. And they're in all of his plays, for sure.
How did you get named the actor's director?
I think because I studied acting. I started out studying acting, and I always am really interested in collaborating with the actors, not imposing my ideas on the actors, but sharing my ideas and having them share their ideas and finding some common ground to work with an actor. I think I'm a strong director in terms of my ideas and my vision, but I think actors like working with me because I'm also open to them and because I understand the process of how they work.
And so just as important in front of the camera as it is behind the camera,
indeed.
You'd say? Yes.
Yeah.
I've got a son that's studying acting, and, of course, he never knew all of what's involved in behind the camera, the stage presence, and the stage combat and everything. So there's so much involved.
Play. Just come visit us for about a half an hour, and you'll see how hard we're working.
Which play, in each of your opinions, stands out or will live on as a Tennessee Williams classic?
Wow.
Well, The Glass Menagerie, of course, Streetcar Named Desire. But, you know, I'm finding others that I think, you know, once people start producing them, might be right up there with them. My one that I'm very fond of is Night of the Iguana, I think, because I really relate to one of the characters in it. You might find me next year having bought a small resort on the coast of Mexico instead of doing a festival.
I think that one of my personal favorites is a play called Camino Real, which is sort of about, in a way, about American imperialism, and so it's very political in a way, and it's also got a lot of mythology and history in it. It's a very ambitious play, and I'm really fond of that. He just had such an incredibly broad scope in his work, from the personal to the political to the social. He wrote about so many different things and aspects of life and race and society, and he covered so much. So there's sort of something for everybody in Williams' work.
Yes, there is. There really is. I love that about him.
What are some of the plays we can look forward to at the festival this year?
Oh, this year? Oh,
yes,
my gosh.
Yes.
Well, we have Small Craft Warnings, of course. We have a lovely little gem, you know, another unknown play that I fell in love with called Will Mr. Merriweather Return from Memphis? And it's a play about longing and yearning and waiting for life, for love, for companionship. We have a lovely cabaret. It's more than a cabaret. Pastiche, I would say, drawing on characters from a play we did last year called Hello from Bertha, and it's called Bertha in Paradise. David Kaplan, who directed Hello from Bertha last year, is coming back to gather the characters back together, and he's creating this lovely show that will be at the Curtain Call Lounge. We have a troupe coming in from Miami doing a Cuban take. It's not a translation. It's a reimagination of A Streetcar Named Desire through the Cuban immigrant experience. The director's from Havana. She's co-directing it with her daughter, Lily Vega. Flora Loughton is one of the premier directors in the world. So we get her and this wonderful troupe of actors from Miami next week. It's called Deseo. It only runs two performances. It's this week, by the way, isn't it? Yikes.
Yeah.
we have just an adorable show. I love it so much, called St. Louis Stories, that I saw recently at the New Orleans Festival, and I loved it so much I added it. And that will be a one-off on Saturday afternoon at 2 at the Dot Zach. It's a compilation of short stories that all take place in St. Louis that are brought to the stage. They're brought to life by a professional troupe and students from the University of Illinois at Champaign-Urbana, directed by Tom Mitchell, who's a wonderful Williams scholar. We're doing a lovely tribute at the Curtain Call Lounge for closing night with top St. Louis actors and our dear Jeremy Lawrence, who's one of the foremost Williams interpreters. Who is our guest this year at the festival. He's in Small Craft Warnings as well.
And we've got extended dates now.
We've extended some of the shows, Small Craft Warnings and Merriweather, through the 14th and the 21st. We've added a show called Ensemble 2.0 on May 8th, which was it's William's Letters. Geraldine Page's daughter, Angelica Page, is coming in to play Edwina. They have film clips of the family, live music. It's going to be a beautiful, beautiful show on Monday night at the Dotzac. Our hub is the Dotzac this year, although we do have other venues all within walking distance, free parking at the Zac. We're screening a film right out here in the Public Media Commons.
Awesome.
Summer
That's
and Smoke
cool.
on All Day Friday on mm-hmm. a continuous loop.
Mm-hmm.
And his paintings, which will be at the St. Louis University Museum of Art.
What is special about Dotzac?
The Dotzac is a performing arts incubator. Ken and Nancy Kranzberg bought the building. They've renovated it. We have a beautiful theater space. There's a restaurant. But the most important thing is we have a big office space with many other theater companies based there. There are four resident companies, but others come and go, and we share ideas, and it's become a really – we're new there, so we're finding our legs, but it's becoming a really wonderful atmosphere in which to create in. They're trying to make it full service, so we have a scene shop and a costume shop, and it's a good hub for the neighborhood. We are doing events at other Kranzberg institutions, the Marcel. We're at Mary Strauss's Curtain Call Lounge, but it's a wonderful place to park your car once and be able to enjoy the festival on foot. But I think the building is really important for the neighborhood. Look at this neighborhood.
Beautiful.
It's a theater district.
It is. And you have a lot of people who are truly into the arts, and
yeah.
we've got a little bit of everything when people start traveling on foot. This is a beautiful time
yeah.
of the year to actually have this festival.
Right.
So
last year, I will say quickly, on the final Sunday afternoon of the festival, there was just such a good energy. There were people filling the sidewalks, going to grab a sandwich at the diner. My nephew brought his food truck down. But there was a buzz, and people were going from one event to the other, and that's what I'm trying to create. I'm trying to create that festival atmosphere. Don't just come see one play. Look at all the work we've done. We have 19 different elements in this festival. So, you know, make it a weekend. Make it an event. We have a lovely lounge called Sophie's Lounge in the Dotzac. We have a restaurant yes. called Turn that I hear is opening this week. We're doing Stella Shouting down at the Dotzac this year from the balcony there. And I encourage people to come. It's a really fun event. We have prizes.
I can do my impression.
Oh, do it. Let's hear it.
Stella!
Come down on Sunday afternoon.
Come down.
You might win a poster or some Stella Artois.
Does it take you nearly a year to
decide?
It did.
I started planning the day after we wrapped last
year. So is it safe
year,
to say that you're planning this year for
I've already planned it.
That's great. That's
I've
great.
Got the major venues, and I have rights pending.
It's been said that St. Louis is a real tough town to yeah. get used to bringing new ideas to. What did it take for you to convince the powers that be that, first of all, that the first year would be well attended and that the second year would be a success?
Well, I think because I am so passionate about doing this, and I think it's so important for our city to honor his legacy in a city that just informs so much of his work, that I do a pretty good dog and pony show. I have the greatest board of St. Louis arts supporters who have really had my back and helped me raise the money to do it. We do need people to come see our beautiful work. It's really important to me that it's shared now with our community.
After you leave here, Richard, will you go back to Chicago?
I'll go back to Chicago. I teach in Chicago at a couple of different schools there. And, I'll teach and direct. And, I direct around the country. So onward.
Russia and abroad. I'm telling you, you're really all over the place, aren't you? So once again, I want to thank you all so much for coming to St. Louis on the Air, for visiting us.
Thank you, Carrie.
Thank you so much for bringing the play back, or the festival back, to St. Louis. And I'd like to end on a quote, a famous quote from Tennessee Williams. Life is all memory, except for the one present moment that goes by you so quickly, you hardly catch it going.
Thank you for that.
I think that pretty much describes the time that we spent together today.
Beautiful.
I agree.
Thank you so much, Carrie Houck, Executive Artistic Director of the Tennessee Williams Festival, going through the 21st. Richard Corley, Director of Small Craft Warnings, one of the many dynamic plays that will be part of the festival this year. Thank you again. I learned a lot.
Thank you, Jerry.
That's contributor Jerry Mitchell. For more information about the Tennessee Williams Festival, St. Louis, visit twstl.org. Archived versions of past St. Louis On the Air programs are available for download or podcast at stlpublicradio.org/stlonair. St. Louis On the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. Thank you for listening. I'm Don Marsh.